Thanks, Andy and team. That was great. Good morning. Greetings from the rest of Europe. Hope you make it, one way or the other. Traumatic times. Hallelujah. Great to be in Chester again. Well, let me just say right at the beginning, I've written this down and I've said it a few times where we go, but just good to remind us this morning in the whole atmosphere of what's happening out there. The battle of the ages has been fought. Satan's power has been destroyed. Christ is risen from the dead. The Holy Spirit has come to declare these things in a way that should cause us and has been causing us to rise up and enter into all that he has for us. Now, once the Spirit is in us, his work is not so much to keep telling us what we need to do, but to declare to us what God has done and completed. So I've appreciated much of the words that we've sung today. It is done. It's finished. Now, we have the occupation, the joy, the privilege of walking on in that. And I praise the Lord, even though when, as we sung that last song, when our heart is overwhelmed, God sometimes keeps us in need. Have you noticed that? I don't agree with the thing, oh, he's answered all my needs. He's answered the main needs. Hallelujah. But there is in his plan, in his genius, he sometimes keeps us in need. Because actually, when everything's honky-dory, we just sort of, we go into mediocrity. And the word I have on my heart for you, I wrote it this, and it's for myself as well, is the need of the apocalypse. Now, apocalypse, it's not some Caribbean music or some throat lozenger or the end of world prediction. I'll come to what it is in a minute. But no matter how good or not so good life is, we continue to need this. We continue to need the apocalypse. In spite of all the blessings he's brought us into, in spite of what I've said, the battle of the ages has been fought, etc. Because life is such that we can experience drainage, leakage. We can get overwhelmed. It's amazing. 1 week, 1 year, everything's wonderful, and then suddenly something happens, and we realize, whew, I'm actually quite vulnerable. We sometimes detect in our own hearts as a cooling off of that first love for Jesus. We cover it up, and perhaps maybe this year you've been ambushed by disappointments that have come in, and they weaken our trust and our faith and our zealousness. I was just reading that scripture that says that hands that hang down and knees that are feeble. Sometimes we can move into that, and for some reason, circumstances. And our thinking, our mindset veers slightly off. Hebrews warns us that in chapter 2. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Why? Because we may slip away or drift away. I was thinking of that old Paul Simon song, Slip Sliding Away. There's a few old rockers here today. They may remember that. But one of the lines is that, you know, the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away. So be careful. Us older guys who've been in the faith so many years, we're still vulnerable and we still need the apocalypse. Okay. Maybe there's been a greater preoccupation. It's not necessarily wrong or sinful, but this is a greater preoccupation of the cares of life. There's a few young children have been at it since we've been here before. Well done. I think someone said there were 12 or something. Anyway. Have more late night prayer meetings but it's funny how cares of life can come in and are the onset of what they call middle age, and we just begin to settle down, and there's a mediocrity, a slight indifference, slight malaise. Yeah, we love them, we still get roused from now and again spiritually, but there's something is missing, and that's why we need the apocalypse. We needed to appreciate more fully God's plan for the rescue of the world, not just for the rescue of my puny, though not insignificant life. We needed to realize there's a much bigger story at play. We need apocalypse so that we can continue to explore, expand, express, and experience what it is to die in order that we may live. To lose one's life is actually not such a bad thing because we're going to gain so much more. But we need apocalypsis to know this. We need it regularly. We need it in point of fact very regularly because there are other things out there to capture our appetites and desires. What is apocalypsis? Well, it's simply the Greek word for revelation. Don't be put off by that sort of way. Oh, well, you know, so-and-so up there, that spiritual giant, my spiritual hero, he had revelation. But actually, we all need and can have, and you've already had. I reckon we're all here because somewhere along the way, you had a revelation. And it's brought you here. The Bible says that where there's no revelation, where there's no vision, where there's no oracle, no story, no insight, people perish. We shrink. We become even dismissive, casual. And I like this word. I'll just talk about the word for a minute because words are important. It's a great word. It expresses three elements of revelation. We need all three. The first is one of, it means an uncovering. Takes away the veil, the mists, the things that cloud the vision, and it reveals the purposes of God. John said this, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, he has unveiled him. He has brought him into view. He has uncovered him. Hallelujah. Jesus reveals. Paul says the gospel is the power of God to salvation, for in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. One of the things that's revealed is that we to live by faith. That's a revelation. For thousands of years, people thought they would live spiritually by effort, by doing indulgences, by earning credits, by trying to avoid purgatory. And then revelation came to a man called Martin Luther and a few others, and a reformation, a reforming of thinking came. New enlightenment came. And men began to rediscover the scriptures, and it was a tremendous change. That was revelation on a big scale, the uncovering. I'm so glad of that revelation in my life, and I trust you all in this room today have had that. I mean, you may have heard of Julian Barnes. He's a well-known English writer. He's an atheist, and he started one of his books by said, I don't believe in God, but I miss him. I grew up believing in God. To me, intelligent design was always so obvious. It made so total sense to believe in God. But I didn't miss him in my life, and it's a bit ironic. They have an atheist saying, I don't believe him, but I miss him, and here was little old me who just believed in him, but I didn't miss him. Until a moment came in my 20s, just in a casual conversation with a friend who told me about Jesus, and I had revelation. I didn't realize it was at the time. It sort of was an idea, I thought, and my whole life began to turn in another direction. So praise the Lord for each of you who carry around, who bear testimony of a revelation in your life. Hallelujah. And you are also carriers of revelation. You bring revealing things to other people. It could be a conversation. It could be how you live. It could be the fact that you're brave enough sometimes in the middle of work or college to tell them, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and it's incredible. And maybe that's sometimes we're inclined to go too far to try and explain everything. Sometimes we leave it at that, and it can be a word of revelation. So uncovering. A second part of that word is communication. It's a communication of the knowledge of God to our soul. Are you enjoying that? Am I enjoying this? God communicating to your soul. Paul prayed, Ephesians, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him. How is that going for? Revealing, so that when we sing a song, when we hear a scripture, when someone talks, he chooses his moment to reveal things. So uncovering, communication. Another part of that word, apocalypsis, is an expression of the mind of God. Just an expression. Sometimes he doesn't explain everything. And I'm not meaning to be irreverent, but I've had to learn to live sometimes with that frustration. It's a human frustration. It's not that but Lord, explain it more. It doesn't for the moment, but it's revealed something that gives me enough to continue on in. And it's like pulling the window open and you go in. It's like when you start to snorkel and the whole world opens up to you. And you say, oh, I wish I could go down there. And then you realize, well, you can if you learn how to handle the snorkel. You go down and then you come up and you blow the water up. Opens a whole world. Because otherwise we get religious. And otherwise we do the good things and we come to church and we give a bit of our money and we do have some aspects of that. But actually it can become a bit, dare I say, boring. Revelation. That's why I say we all have need of revelation, no matter where you're at this point of time in your life. Now, it isn't that we go fanatic about revelation, 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 but just walk on with him. We're going to examine a few things about that. If you have a Bible with you, just turn to those at the index at the front of your Bible. And we come to the New Testament. You see 27 books. This is just, okay, we've got the Gospels and Acts. And then we come to the first, they are called the nine Christian church epistles. So that's from Romans to Philemon. And then we've got nine Hebrew Christian epistles, written primarily to Jews who had become Christians. But those first nine, the Romans to Philemon, were written to non-Jews. Nine of them. Nine epistles. There were seven churches. Seven is the number in Scripture for completeness. And in these epistles, let alone the others, but in these epistles, we have the complete embodiment of the Holy Spirit's teaching for us. They contain much of what Jesus talked about, the all-truth, which he pre-announced sometime earlier, that the Holy Spirit would guide us into. Amazing. It was only written, I think I went into it, those nine epistles were written in 12 years, some of them from prison. They weren't written from universities and the height of learning. They didn't have computers and word processors. They were written in the most menial of places. And yet here we have them today. If you say, I never get revelation, just start reading those epistles, as you've been doing. Revelation will come. It won't be too much. It won't be too little. But they contain revelation. Only, for some reason, I'm fast. 12 years. 12 years, all that came to the earth. Of course, it had already come through the life, death, resurrection, ascension, glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he chose one or two men to write it out, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by a miracle, it's still in vogue today. It's still amongst the world's bestsellers today, the New Testament. Hallelujah. This is basic stuff, but I've been thinking about it myself, because actually, no matter what, where you are in life, a bit older on in years, or younger, or middle, or you're doing this, we're going to need revelation. We're going to need it. You're going to need it tomorrow. And before we finish, maybe I'll just throw out a few things I found of not so much how it comes, because it's there, but how actually we detect it and realize, boom, that's from you, God. I'll finish on this, but so each of those epistles, if I was just going to say there's a distinct emphasis in each of them, and therefore a flow of revelation, I'm just going to fly to this, but sort of Romans, it's the power of God to us. 1 Corinthians, Christ, the wisdom of God to us. 2 Corinthians, the comfort of God to us. Galatians, the righteousness of God to us. Are you still with me? Ephesians, the riches of God to us. Philippians, the sufficiency of God to us. Colossians, the fullness of God to us. 1 Thessalonians, the promise of God to us. 2 Thessalonians, Christ, the reward of God to us. Now repeat those. No, I'm only joking you. But there you have it. It's there. It's full of revelation. And I love reading books about the epistles. I love reading books about creation. I love reading books to explain things. But actually, this is the best source of revelation when it comes to books. Okay. What's the next thing I wanted to say? Yeah. Way back again, many hundreds of years ago, there was a man by the name of Daniel. Brilliant young guy. And the Jews were conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian captivity. They went into captivity. They were some of the academia, the intelligentsia that they were assigned to work for Nebuchadnezzar. And then he had a dream one night, you know the story, and he said, "Tell all the wise men, not only interpret the dream, but guys, tell me the dream." "What? Tell you the dream?" And of course they couldn't, so he starts to execute them. And the guys, Daniel and his three friends, and they were there. And Daniel's saying, "I'm too young to die." So he goes to the guy who was executing. He said, "Get me in front of the king," he said, "and I will tell him his dream and interpret it. But a few things," he said, "I need time." And then he said, he went in and he sought the Lord. And sometimes revelation comes over time, and sometimes it's instantaneous. We're living in the instantaneous world, everything's instantaneous. Communication, what's happening in Venezuela today, we'll hear it in a minute's time. It's incredible. So we begin, I need to know. Some revelation, it's like the dawning comes. And there's other things that just comes to you like that. So when my friend told me about he'd given his life to Jesus, I wasn't alcoholic, I wasn't into drugs, I was happy. And I didn't need Jesus, but intuitively I knew I had to follow him. It was inconvenient. But it was revelation, and sometimes revelation can be like that. But anyway, so Daniel says he buys himself time, he seeks the Lord, and the Lord tells him what the dream was and interprets. He goes in before this king. This king, he ruled the earth. He only had to do that, and you were dead. And he tells him, and Nebuchadnezzar, that's amazing. And this is what he says. He says, "Daniel, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and he's the revealer of secrets." Hallelujah. He's the revealer of things that you've had. Well, that's a bit of a mystery. I don't understand that. Well, just you wait upon the Lord and you'll be amazed how truth will come and develop in your life and your thinking. Paul recorded, he said, "The gospel that I preach, I didn't receive it from man, nor was I even taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." So we may ask at this point of time, how can I get revelation? What's the method? Is there a DIY YouTube video on insights and tips as to how I can come into apocalypsis? Well, there might be. I doubt it. But I can just suggest a few pointers that I've discovered, and maybe you have as well, a few angles that we can come on this one. And I would just like, as a point of reference, turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter 3. Because here's one of the things that can facilitate revelation flowing, coming, entering into your life. We were driving back from Cork one evening quite recently, and Ruth, my wife, she had a revelation. She said, "I really need to visit a lady in a hospital tomorrow." We knew she was in a bad way. We had got to know her through a mutual friend. This lady, I'll call her Susanna, is the mother of quite a famous rock duo from Ireland. They sang in the Eurovision. They now live in LA. And I'm just thinking, oh, there's so much on next week. Maybe we could fit it in Thursday, Friday. But I knew Ruth was determined to go in. She went in the next day. She had a revelation to go in. And that bit of revelation that sparked her going changed a family. It changed a destiny. It changed the mother who was dying. It changed her sister. It changed the two young rock and rollers. Well, I think it will change. All of a sudden, Ruth was brought into, revelation opens doors. She was brought into the family, into the intensive care unit. She was able to pray with the mother. And then she was able to over coffee, Ruth said, "Oh, I'll go now. It's a family." "No, Ruth, stay." "Yes, Ruth, stay." "Yes, Ruth, stay." She was you know, Revelation's an amazing thing. She just had a word of to go in. It wasn't convenient. She went in. It wasn't the easiest thing to go into where the celebrities are. And she went into that place, into that private hospital room. And we were all, so I was able to go along in the slipstream of my wife's revelation. I was asked to the funeral, and there they were. They had a private funeral. They didn't want the press to know. The press didn't even know they were in Ireland, although they came out the next day that they were. And I was able to say the two young men, they got up very wonderfully dressed, and there they were at the funeral, and they spoke about their mom. And now, one of our children actually went to the same school. They were a bit ahead of her in school. But anyway, I went up to talk to one of them after, and I said, you know, John, you are a good speaker. I know you can sing. You can't really, but I just said that to him. I know you can sing, but I said, you are a good speaker. Oh, I said, man, yeah, and one day you may be a preacher. Cool, man, cool. And then the strange thing was, they said to us, they said, hey, yeah, we're kind of interested in Jesus, and we live in this block of apartments in downtown LA, and there's a church just across the road, and well, we don't know if it's a church or not, or if it's a cult, and they have baptisms in the front of it every day. And Ruth said, what's the name? And they said, Mosaic. Ruth said, we've been there. My daughter goes there. I said, cool, man, what's her number? And oh, we're going back. We're going to go to that. And we go, yeah, we're going to go to that church. Now, I don't know if they will or not. But I tell you that story, that revelation, just a simple thought, I need to go there. Now, we could say it's a prompting. We could say it's a good idea. But I feel that we sometimes think revelation is for everyone else, for me. And it opened up a whole world. Revelation is a wonderful thing. And we all need it from time to time. Now, the thing is, as you go, I must have revelation, three keys to revelation. Now, there's a risk that if you do that, it'll kind of quench it. But there's also a risk if we think, oh, I never have any revelation. Well, you probably won't recognize it when it comes its way. So be open to it. So in Colossians chapter 3, it says, if then you were raised with Christ. Now, before I go on, this directive is applicable to the raised ones. He says, if then you've been raised with Christ. That's important. Because otherwise, we can seek revelation from a kind of a humanistic way. Human philosophy teaches we're to raise humanity to a higher plane. But actually, the gospel teaches that humanity has to die, old humanity has to die, and we have to be resurrected spiritually. And that is why these first seven words are key. And it's not my topic this morning, but you can go back to chapter 1 and chapter 2, and that shows you what to be raised up with Christ is. It shows you. And I think, I don't know all of you, but I know a lot of you. You have been raised up with Christ. You have experienced regeneration. It's actually a baptism into his death. The baptism into the Spirit is a baptism spiritually into the death of Christ. Ego gets dealt with. And you rise up again to newness of life. Is ego completely gone? No, you still have to. We need revelation to deal with it, okay? But it's an event that takes place. So he's writing to the raised up ones, and then he says this. Desire, inquire, seek those things which are above. He doesn't say how long you have to do it for. It doesn't say that it's, but actually it becomes a bit of a lifestyle after a while. You seek the things that are above, where Christ is. That word above, it just means upwards, at the top, high up. Where he is, another world, in fact, sitting at the right hand of God. And then he repeats it again, set your mind, be mentally switched on, be interested in the things above. See, it is a change of interest. We were just talking about it the other day, and Ruth and I, and had we moved back to Dublin, and we're renovating a house, and you know, we kind of joked, yeah, I wonder would we have ever, like I always wanted to take up painting or really learn how to play the guitar or have a little holiday home. And there's nothing wrong in those things. Like if you do all those three things, God bless you. I'm slightly envious of you, but I will deal with that. But there's actually, we realize in our own measure, the grace of God and his revelation, we actually decided to be more interested in things above. That's in spite of me, because I could have a lot of interest in other things. And I don't mean we're not able to talk rugby with Johnny. And we commiserate with one another. Is there anyone here from Wales? Well done, brother. Fantastic. You thoroughly deserve it. Anyway, but you know what I mean? The direction of your life, when you have revelation, I think I'll just seek those things above. Don't be totally focused on the things of the earth, for you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. All right. It's wonderful to die. It's wonderful to be free from this pull of ego and individualism and existentialism and indifference and all those other isms that are out there. Hallelujah. You know, A.W. Tozer, he put it this way. He said, refuse to be average. Let your heart soar as high as it will. A.W. Tozer. You like that? Refuse to be average. Let your heart soar as high as it will. Your poet, William Wordsworth, said this, I have felt a presence that disturbs me with the joy of elevated thought. Now, I don't know if Willie Wordsworth was a Christian or not, but he certainly wrote as if he knew something. In other words, we embrace the culture of the upward look. And one of the characteristics of things above, you see, when I read this and he says things twice, I want to, what things? What things? I don't know if you think. What's he talking about? What things? Well, joy is a thing. And in Galatians chapter 5, it lists 9 things. There's many other things. And you know them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is a thing. Okay? We can seek those things. Contentment is a great thing. We find the characteristic of things above is they are alive. So that's why Peter wrote about not just hope, but living hope. I mean, there's hope out there. Everyone, oh, I'm hoping this. I hope I'll win the lotto. I hope it'll be fine tomorrow. But there's a living hope that does not die in the face of a funeral and the unexpected death of a loved one. It doesn't die in the space of unrequited love. It doesn't die when you don't get that job. There is a living hope, supernatural. The same with a joy. Joy. Here's something I was reading the other day in one of my devotionals, and it said this. The world believes joy is the product of optimal circumstances when we're all we need and life is good. But actually, that's a delusion. That's a lie. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, a gift from Father, a source of refreshment, restoration, even in the midst of tribulation, even amidst destruction, devastation, dashed hopes, destroyed dreams, even death itself. When our souls are famished for hope, beauty, and encouragement, joy is a well of life. These are things well worth seeking things above. It's joy is a tool that builds bridges, that repairs broken relationships and restores hope. Joy is a weapon against darkness and Satan, who seeks revenge against God, who has left him out of the plan of redemption. I'm not sure if that theologically is correct. Anyway, it sounds good. It's joy is a source of strength. Of course, Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So this writer says, remove this gift from the shelf, tear off its wrapping, break the seal, appropriate joy, access joy, abscond joy, have joy revealed to you. Let joy be your raised fist against the power of darkness. Let the juice of its fruit flow all over you and guzzle the joy today and feel its strength ripple through the muscles of your faith. I wish I had written that, but I just felt it was good. There's one thing that if you have a kind of a pessimistic outlook, the glass is always half empty. Just, Lord, I need the joy of heaven. I'm not going to be all bubbly, that's not me, but this deep supernatural joy. These are things that we can seek, that we can know, contentment. And the characteristic of them is they're alive, they're real. And some will say to you, why are you always the way you are? I say, who, me? No, there's something about you. Have you had that said to you? It's because you've had revelation. And another thing about the Lord, as he distributes revelation to us, he doesn't come up to you and say, "You're such a prophetic person. I'm going to throw in loads of revelation." And you begin, "Oh, yeah, I'm a bit of a prophet." And you see, there are ministries in the church that are like that. And they say, "You, God is a certain thing in your life, and you, da, da, da." Now, I'm not saying that there isn't a place for that, but there's also an exaltation of someone's personality. You want to be careful. But when he dispenses revelation and he gives you things in your life, he does it in such a way that you still walk on humbly, relying on him, not exalted. Hallelujah. Now, to finish, and it could be, we're okay. I have here, how do I seek things above? How do I seek revelation? It's a long topic, but let me throw out a few things. And I have written here, these things that he writes in Colossians 3, things above gain prominence as you simply wait on the Lord. Now, do you find waiting on the Lord easy? I'm not getting much reaction here. No. Personally, I have to adapt. Just say as I adapt at a queue in an airport. I have to adapt. Did she ever hurry up? Right? Okay. And have you ever sort of felt, that's why I always let Ruth choose the queues. She seems to choose the slower one, the quicker ones. I choose the slower. But as we actually waiting on the Lord is a revelation that takes away the kind of, see, it isn't so much, it's more positioning ourselves rather than something that we have to do. It's more of an incline of our hearts. Lord, change my heart. Lord, I need you. and it's waiting on him. Maybe just turn to one more scripture, Isaiah 40, please. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. He's just had a revelation. In verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? And then he gets a revelation that the earth is round. He gets a revelation that the universe is expanding. Guys, this is 713 BC. And so he says in verse 25, to whom then will you, the Holy One speaks to him, he says, to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? And he's realizing, goodness, what a revelation. And his response is 26, lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number, who calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, no one is missing. Now, we don't need a revelation that the earth is round. We don't need a revelation that the universe is expanding. We're told that. But in case we're not, Isaiah had that revelation in 713 BC. But there are some things that God will hit us with a revelation. And we'll just say, oh, I have to lift my eyes up. I have to seek these things above. Now, 27 is the way not to do it. These are the words of those who don't elevate their eyes or seek the things above. My way is hidden from the Lord. My just claim is passed over by my God. You know, everyone else gets blessed but me. I never feel that. I don't feel anything. In fact, I'm wondering even if I'm a Christian. Who is he anyway? Why doesn't he, blah, 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 right? You need to get in and say, Lord, putting this aside, I want to seek you. I want revelation. I want apocalypse in my life. I want expression. I want communication. And he'll do it. And then he says again, he's repeating verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He's neither faint nor weary in giving you revelation. And then he says he gives power to the weak. I've underlined that. Hallelujah. Because you may feel weak spiritually. You may feel weak because of circumstances, because of background, because of situations that I've had. But he says he gives power as you wait on the Lord. And waiting can be just in the car. It's more of an attitude rather than saying, I'm going to give 3 weeks to waiting on the Lord. It'd be great if you did that, but if I guarantee you won't be able to do it all at once. But just have that, I'm going to turn off this news. I'm going to turn off this music just for a while. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Hallelujah. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young man shall utterly fail. Not a young man here, take note. But those who wait upon the Lord, see, this is the context of this famous verse, shall renew their strength. They shall rise, they shall ascend. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. This is poetry. And this affects how we move. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Have you ever seen eagles flap? They flap to get off the ground, but actually they just soar on the thermal. It's a great picture. Is it verse 9? The word to people who bring good tidings to the church. You who bring good tidings to the church, you who announce things, you who are modern day terms are in ministry. But in one sense, we're all in ministry. We're all ministering to one to another. What does he say to him? Get up into the high mountains. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, etc., etc., etc. I've written in my margin here, deep truths are only ever brought down. They're not found by chance, but are grasped in the struggle and the effect of the search of the climb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All I'm doing is whetting my appetite, whetting your appetite, that there's actually a word for you this week. Yes, someone may give it to you. When I go to India, they come and say, oh, brother, can I have a word from you? And you begin to say, well, find it yourself. Well, I don't. But you feel, I said, find it yourself. There's words for us. There's words for some of you here are going through stressful times, stretching times. There is a word of revelation for you this week. Hallelujah. I just didn't find this and learned how to say it, the apocalypse word, by chance. It dropped into me. Chester. On this word, okay? So that's why I'm finding I can be confident it's a living word. It's nothing to do with me, but I'm just a mouthpiece. There's someone or someone's here that you need this word of revelation. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, just bear with me. The book before Isaiah is the Song of Songs. How do we find revelation? Song of Solomon chapter 2, and you know the picture, the lover and his bride. The husband and his bride, picture of Jesus and the church, chapter 2, verse 10. My beloved spoke, said to me, rise up. Here we have that again, seeking the things above. Verse 13 at the end, rise up, my love, come away. And then this verse 14, we're inclined to miss out. He says this, oh, my dove in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs. Your Bible may say cliff. The word is stairs. Stairs. Think of stairs, think of things above, think of elevation, think of going up. There's a secret place of the stairs. Now hang in here, okay? You have that place. Some of you have found that place. It's not necessarily geography or a certain room or a corner that you go to, but it's a place. It's a place. I know a place you can seek. It's a place of the stairs. And the cleft in the rock is really signifying the way opened for us by Jesus on the cross. And so we receive the nature through his death, resurrection, glorification, ascension, glorification, and sending down the Holy Spirit. We receive the nature of the dove. So this is all symbolic. But as a result of the Spirit coming into our lives, we discover this place. largely hidden from peering eyes, but we can rise up to him. But a key to this place is the rest of the verse. It's responding to his desire, to see, where he says, let me see your face. Now it's picture. You know, whenever we're just sort of thinking of ourselves, thinking of work, but he says, let me see your face, Lord. Right here. Let me hear your voice. Sometimes we just, one of the things that stress will do, that when we're overwhelmed, we become kind of dumb to the things of the Lord. He said, I just want to hear your voice. That's why when Jesus, he spoke to people, he said, woman, what is it that you want me to do? He knew, but he wanted to hear the voice. But sometimes it's the last thing we do. Well, I'm not praising the Lord today. Why should I praise him? The minute that lie comes in, you praise him. Break the cycle of complaint. Let me see your voice. Ah, your face is lovely. Well, I don't think it's lovely. It's not. Oh, but he said, no, the fact that you're looking, I can communicate revelation to you. There is more in that, but I just want to move on. Where is this? We're going to go to finish. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We leave that. You know, some people say, I'm so tied down with troubles and pressures, I can't hear revelation. I can't hear his voice. I can't receive it. But actually, often times of trouble, of having to bear burdens, can actually be the wings to cause you to rise. Rather than when everything is hunky-dory and going well, often it's the things that, when David was enduring, that's why so much of the Psalms are there for us. And he was often, when David was often being pursued, there were people out to assassinate him, trained killers were after him, he had to keep on the move, on the fled, but he said, I am the king, I should be king, and now I'm fleeing from the king that shouldn't be king. And he said once in Psalm 55, oh, that I had wings like a dove. And he veers off, he said, I'd wander far off, I'd remain in the wilderness, I'd hasten my escape, but actually, that's not what we're to do. Don't remain in isolation, don't wander off. If you read on in the psalm, he says, no, I will call upon God, the lifter of my head. I will cast my burden on the Lord. He used the troubles that he was going through as wings to bring him, the need that brought him to a place where he could hear the Lord. So if you're going through a certain need in your life right now, pressure, problems, situations, and we'll experience those a lot during life, they actually can be the wing to bring us up to God. Need is a great thing. Embrace it and say, yeah, but I can't cope with this. Bring it to him. He will give you revelation. You know, when I was in business, and I don't mean this, looking back, I realized there were 3, 4, 5, 6 moments in business I actually had revelation. That actually the competitors hadn't a chance. Right? So how we bring children up, how we cope with this, how we cope with that. He reveals things to us. And you get to sort of say, I totally rely on you, Lord. Reveal this to me. Elijah looked for the grave in the desert, but God was preparing a chariot in the skies for him. I may have told you this story, but it's worth telling again. Years ago, we have a brother from China here. And you're very welcome, brother. I had a nice conversation with him earlier. He speaks wonderful English. Much better than my Mandarin. But anyway, I've been to China for about 28, 29 years, before he was born, in fact. But I remember going into one of these places. It was a new hotel in Beijing. At that stage, the hotels are a lot taller now, but it was about 40 to 50 floors. And there was a guy there in a uniform, a little guy. He was a bellboy, and he would press the button for your lift. I think I was on the 8th floor. And the last day, I had breakfast, heading up, and I got to talk to him. He could speak a bit of English. And he said this to me before he pressed the 8th floor. He said, you want to go higher? And I didn't really want to be honest. I had a taxi, etc. But there was a look in his face. I said, oh, okay. and he pressed the 44th floor and went up. He was so proud of this. We went out, he showed me the balcony. I had a wonderful view of the smog in Beijing. Breathed it in, felt wonderful. Didn't see anything, came down. I said, that was wonderful. Ah, oh, thank you very much, thank you very much. And we went down the lift. Now, that may sound a funny story, but actually, for the next year or two, that little word in the Chinese accent kept coming to me. Oh, you want to go higher. Seek the things above. Seek the things above. You know, the results of revelation, one of them will be a challenge, because you cannot receive something divine without it challenging you in a very positive way. There'll be a settlement and a contentment, and there will be a lingering desire to search out more. Seek those things that are above. Revelation will come. There was a song years ago. Some of you older rockers might recall it, by Jackie Wilson. And it says, it's great being old. I know things that you don't know. But anyway, but this was the song. It says, your love has lifted me higher and higher. It was a love song. But actually, the love of God is the most refreshing and invigorating work of the Spirit in our lives. And it's out of love he brings us into revelation. So what's your need today? It's apocalypse. Revelation. Just that's something that will come. I late in life began to think it was important enough. When I felt there was a prompt, when I felt there was something for me, I'd write it down, because I forget, we can forget revelation, because other things come in and prioritize. And it's very useful. Go back a couple of years and look at something and say, oh, yeah, that's right. That's thank you, Lord. So there's other practicals. In fact, we could have a whole seminar on revelation. And I'll come back for free and do it. No, I'm only joking here. That's it. You find yourselves. But isn't it exciting that the God of heaven, who made the beautiful universe that we see, and they actually... I read in the BBC News now that they have discovered in the last 35 years, since 35 years ago when they first had some telescopes, that they are now discovering, I don't know how many more planets and cosmos that are there. He's made all that, and he wants to reveal things about him, about the cross. We sing about the cross. We feel the effect of the cross, but actually we're only touching the surface of the death of Christ. Why? It's foolishness to some people, and yet it's the power of God for salvation. We need revelation on the big things, but you and I, we need revelation how to live. So I hope you have need of that. I hope that maybe if you haven't, there's a stirring in your heart for it. And we can just ask the Lord now before we close to just pinpoint it, to lure us in. Oh, God, you're the great allurer. You're the great lifter of our head, and we pray for one another this morning. You're here, Holy Spirit, bringing the life of Christ to each one of us. And I pray, Lord, I pray, Lord, I'm glad of this need in my own life, and I want you to heighten it so that it propels something in me to seek you more, not for a load of knowledge, or that's wonderful, but Lord, for a knowledge of God, for an insight to things of the Spirit. And an outworking of that, I know, Lord, is how you affect us in the horizontal as well. Oh, God, I pray. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the vibrancy of your life amongst them, Lord. We pray for continuing grace and power and wisdom and revelation. Hallelujah. I pray for anyone who's really feeling the burdens of life, that you will come even before the end of this day and shine that shaft of light that will illuminate, that will bring hope, that will bring solution, that will bring a way ahead, that will dismiss gloom and doom, but instead turn something around, and your living hope and living word will win. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Glory to your name, Jesus. Jesus. We seek first your kingdom, Lord, not just to be good Christians, but Lord, because we need revelation. Lord, we hunger and thirst. Lord, not because it just seems the right thing to do, Lord, because truly we are hungry to know God. We're thirsty for the living waters, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, there's some folk here need to make decisions, Lord, and they're just frankly not sure of the crossroads, which road to take. Lord, will you come and bless them and help them and show them the way? Your word says your word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. Lord, reveal your way. Maybe where there seems to be no way, reveal your way. Cause courage to come with revelation, Lord. Cause a lightness of step to come. Cause joy to come where there's been mourning. Cause life to come when there's been the residue of death and deadness and dryness, Lord, we pray. Springs of living water. Lord Jesus, you promised that that would rise up from within us. Rise up from the depths of our being, rivers of living water, Lord. We need your revelation. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. And we commit one another to you. We pray protection over this church. Lord, we pray, Lord, that it has attracted the eyes of some alien things, Lord, and we pray against this together. We'll stand. Can we stand together just as I pray this? Can we stand together? We're not playing games today. You are not playing games here in Chester. I know there are other wonderful churches and we bless them for that, but Lord, for this place here, we stand together. We ask you, Lord, for your great protection as they go forth, not retreat. They go forth. We thank you for the activities of prayer times, of days together, Lord, of events, this Easter breakfast, these other things that are happening, Lord. And we pray and we dispel powers, subtle powers, Lord, that disguise themselves like angels of light that would want to cause havoc and bring things down. Lord, thank you. You lift up your banner. You already have your banner over this place, and we pray that. I pray you'll bless those who serve here and all who come, Lord, that they'll be a light and a beacon to many. Praise God. Amen. Amen.